following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
A message to all of you who don't have blazing foot speed and supernatural strength. You're probably not going to get a football scholarship. But you do have a chance to win some tuition this college football season in Dr. Pepper's $1 million tuition giveaway. Go to drpepper.com. Tell us why you should be one of the winners. There's nothing like a free ride. There's nothing like a pepper. No purchase necessary. Go to drpepper.com for details.
When pain strikes, put on a Salon Pause pain relief or arthritis patch and join the pain-free movement. Salon Pause is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter pain relief patch. Two powerful active ingredients go right where it hurts, reducing inflammation and relieving mild to moderate pain for up to 12 hours. Millions are joining the pain-free movement. Now, it's your turn. Salon Pause.
Salon Pause.
Available at CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith. Get pass knocked away, Mariska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sad day.
I feel for the former co-host of this show, Matt Schick.
I feel
for athletic director Rick Petrie at Kearney Catholic. I feel for Cody. But I feel for Dan Hawkins. They just couldn't get it done in Colorado and the Buffaloes. I don't know any other Colorado fans, I don't think. I think that's it. Yeah, you know what? I like Dan Hawkins as a person. We've always had great dealings with him, and that probably is one of the reasons why. But out today as the head football coach at Colorado, and we'll talk more about that here in just a moment on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also, it's Bo Pelini's press conference. I would think he'd be asked about it, and I would think he'd say it's not my deal. So that's coming up at the end of the program today, second half, just after 11:30, Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. It's another round of high school football playoffs. The quarterfinals are today in classes C and D. The semifinals are Saturday in A and B. At the six-man championship, a rematch of last year, as the Titans of Greeley-Wallback take on Arthur County, the defending champions, Thursday night, Foster Field at UNK. That's always a fun time. Six-man football final Thursday at UNK. We'll talk about all of that. Also coming up on the program today, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and we'll be talking with Tom Kensler, the Denver Post, here in just a couple of minutes about the firing of Dan Hawkins and where they go from there. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see the Reverend Horton Heat coming up this weekend at the Garage Sunday night. A lot of people loved them every time they've been here, and they're back this Sunday at the Garage in Kearney. We'll give you a chance to win tickets to see the Reverend, plus special musical guests Split Lip Rayfield and the legendary Shaq Shakers.
All right.
Not only funny names, but good music this Sunday at the Garage in Kearney. But Tony, Monday Night Football, blah, Wade Phillips officially fired. Didn't expect anything different there. Jason Garrett steps in. So all these things that have went on over the weekend.
Yeah, I guess.
Or not over the weekend, but in the last 24 hours.
I guess the two coaches being fired in the middle of the season, I guess, yeah, you expected. I guess you expected it after Dallas's performance on Sunday night. Yeah, something had to change. And I guess after the team scores 35 unanswered points, you kind of expected Dan Hawkins would have to go now.
Well, to find out the very latest on what's going on with our friend of the show, Dan Hawkins, well, we know he's gone, Daddy, but what happens now at the University of Colorado?
Yeah, 19-39 is not going to cut it, and I guess after last week's absolute debacle, it was time to go. Much like Wade Phillips, it was just time for Dan Hawkins to move on to better places. And Tom Kinsler joins us to visit about it from the Denver Post right now. Tom, thanks so much for the time. In your mind, was it automatic after Saturday that it was time for Dan Hawkins to go?
You know, immediately it wasn't. We got word that athletic director Mike Bone, had every intention of letting Dan finish out the season, but I think there was so much negativity from boosters, fans, you know, media, et cetera, in the day or two after that debacle. You just felt like it was time.
Tom, did it really matter? I mean, was Coach Hawk gone at the end of the year no matter what?
Yeah, I really don't think it mattered because it's no secret that Mike Bone has been starting a search, maybe unofficially instead of officially, at least gathering thoughts on candidates and maybe putting out some feelers. You know, they always go through intermediaries first, So all the parties can look in the camera and say that they've not been contacted. Well, maybe they haven't, but their attorney has or whatever. So I think the coaching searches had already started in the past couple of weeks. So it probably didn't matter. I think Dan was a little bit concerned about what would happen with Cody Hawkins, the quarterback, his son. He's really the only available quarterback, with Tyler Hansen having hurt his spleen and he's out for the year, and they didn't want to break a redshirt freshman, take the redshirt off a freshman. So they were a little concerned about that, but Cody is such a team guy, and Cody wants to be a coach. And the way I looked at it is, if Cody gave any thought to this, no way should he quit, because anytime he would apply for a coaching job in the future, that would always come up.
Tom Kinsler from the Denver Post joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom, for everybody knows that 35 points were given up in the fourth quarter, but take us back to Saturday. What happened with the team?
You know, to a man, they all said they expected Kansas to quit. And, as human nature, I mean, I know you played the game and were a good player. Sometimes if you can find an opportunity to kind of relax a little bit, you know, when you've been working so hard, in human nature, you do. So, but Kansas didn't quit. I give hats off to Turner Gill. But then it was just a comedy of errors. I mean, the onside kick fooled everybody. And then, not to make excuses, but I don't think Kansas recovered the onside kick. It was one of those in the pile, and the bigger guy took it from the smaller guy after they were already down on the ground. The officials weren't really in position. The other thing is, it was not a televised game, so they don't have very good camera angles. But regardless of that, that's not an excuse. They would have probably lost anyway. But so you had the onside kick that fooled them, and then there was a fumble on a reverse, and then bang bang, couple quick touchdowns, and they just could not reverse the momentum. It seems like to me that having covered all levels of football, it seems like college football more than high school or pro is so difficult to reverse the momentum. Once old Mo goes the wrong way, and they just couldn't stop Kansas after that. And the crowd, there wasn't a big crowd, but whatever was left was really into the game. And but it was a historic meltdown. Let's say that.
Oh yeah, in about 3 years there will have been 150,000 people at that ball game. Tom Kinsler, just another minute here from the Denver Post. Brian takes over then, Tom, for the rest of the season. He's been with the program forever. What does he do? Does he have any chance to take over as the coach? Where do we go from here?
No, I don't think so. It's nothing against Brian, but I think Mike Bone feels like he needs to make some kind of splash and some kind of fresh start. I would guess that that Brian Cabral will be retained by the new coach, because he's one of the better linebacker coaches in the country, and just a legend here. That was pretty obvious, pick to be the interim coach, since he knows the program in and out and has been with all the players forever. But it'll be a very interesting hire. You know, Mike Leach. Bill McCartney has gone on record saying he wants it. And I'm just wondering if Mike Bunn can say no to Bill McCartney. That's going to be interesting.
Well, that.
But if he does, then where does he go? You know, it'll be an interesting hire.
Well, that's certainly the name that my friends that seem to be close to boosters out there. I get this email that says Bill McCartney's name is all over. The person across the desk from me is shaking his head, but he didn't think Bo Pelini'd be the coach of Nebraska either. So.
yeah,
you know that's the name that keeps coming up, and is that what you're hearing already
about Bill?
Yeah,
yes, yeah. We had it in the paper today that Bill said that he's interested.
Wow.
And we knew that before, but Bill was smart enough. He wasn't going to sabotage the existing regime and come out and say that until there was an opening, but. He told the Denver Post last night that he's interested in the job, so it'll be interesting. You know, I think he'd only be a 2 or 3 year guy. And then you got to start over again. So I don't know, but if Mike Bone would want to go that way, it might be a good hire. But since it's not long term, I mean, you think, well, you know, maybe I should look elsewhere. So it'll be very interesting.
Tom, last question. Since Colorado's going to the Pac-10, does that open up a whole new crop of candidates that maybe you wouldn't normally hear about?
Maybe, but I think that's overblown. I think the Big 12 is an outstanding conference, and of course I know Nebraska is going to the Big 10, and I'm an old Big 10 guy myself, but people say, well, you gain the California recruits. Well, you lose the Texas recruits, and I think Texas had the most Division I, you know, prospects, so it might there might be some coaches out on the West Coast that might be more eager for the job than they would have been. We'll see. One name that's pretty interesting that has been floated around the media is Les Miles, but then I think after the Alabama victory over Alabama, that's probably over. But it's no secret that the fans are kind of weary of Les's act down at LSU, but they probably couldn't afford Les anyway. So it's just going to be interesting, but it is a great travel league. That might get some people excited.
Well, Tom, we appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much on the short notice, and we'll catch up with you again in the future.
No problem, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom, from the Denver Post, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So the shoe has dropped, as we've been talking about. Dan Hawkins is out. We could have went a long time with Tom. Bill McCartney would be a horrible hire. A horrible hire. Why would you do that to your program?
Bill Snyder came back and made it work at Kansas State. Bill McCartney built the program. He won the national titles. He knows how to do it. He's a hero. He's revered out there. Bring him back.
Okay, so Bill Snyder did it. So Bill, I don't think you can bring a guy in for a couple of years going into a brand new conference. Besides, how long was Bill Snyder gone? How long has Bill McCartney been gone? Bill McCartney hadn't done anything in college football for 20 years. My opinion, horrible. Horrible decision by Colorado if they hire Bill McCartney as their head football coach. I don't need some 65, whatever he is, year old guy coming in, some fossil. Did you really ever want Tom Osborne to re-coach Nebraska after 13 years? I'm just being honest here. I'm being honest. This isn't an Osborne debate. You think Bill McCartney would be a good hire at Colorado for the future of that program?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we disagree. I can't see any factual basis.
When Bill Callahan was having his struggles and somebody mentioned if Tom Osborne would come back right now, you wouldn't have wanted him?
That was a whole different situation. A whole different situation. He'd been out for, what, 5 years? That's a whole different situation. Bill McCartney hasn't had anything to do with college football for almost 20 years. Go ahead, Colorado. We don't have to deal with you anymore. That's my thoughts on the deal. I don't know who you bring in. It's amazing that they can't make it work at Colorado. I think I'm still astonished that they can't win at Colorado. How Colorado is not the second best team in the North behind Nebraska blows me away. I mean, supposedly, now over the last few years, we've learned how their facilities aren't stepping up, how the money's not there for the program. Now they go into the Pac-10.
And to be honest with you, I've been bringing up Bill McCartney's name for, what, a month and a half now?
Which has nothing to do with whether he's a good hire or not. Nothing. 0%.
Yeah, you've been talking about that because that has been brought up since last year when they didn't think that they were going to renew or bring Dan Hawkins back, but had to because of the money situation. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Also to the Dent Popper inbox. Coming up, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night, Big Daddy's Volleyball. Have you been practicing?
No, I haven't.
Don't need to? You've just succumbed. You've basically forfeited, haven't you?
No, I have. No, I'm not giving this deal up.
Here's another thing I heard last night, and I hope they misspoke on TV. But as I was watching the sports last night, one of the channels had up, you know, something to the effect of welcoming back Turner Gill. Or, you know, it was something about Turner Gill coming back. Will he be cheered? Will he be booed? What? I say this right now, and I would personally love, I'm not the big strong guy, but I would like to be right there and help pick out anybody in that 87,000, 85,000 plus stadium on Saturday night. If anybody said a bad word about Turner Gill, I would immediately kick them out of the stadium and revoke any ticket privileges that they had for life. Not this year, for life. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is there a negative thing in the entire world ever in the state about Turner Gill? And H-Man's going, he should have completed the pass in the Orange Bowl. No, people. There's not one negative thing you can say about Turner Gill and his association with Nebraska.
You immediately get kicked out of the stadium and drive to Disney World and punch Mickey Mouse in the face, I guess. I don't know.
Sorry, folks. The park is closed. The Moose House probably should have told you that. 888-455-ESPN.
On the Bruce Furniture fan line, Trent from Blue Hill.
Trent, what's going on?
Hey, what do you guys think about Wade Phillips taking over the Colorado job? I mean, he does have the second highest winning percentage since Tom Landry quit.
When we were talking to Tom from the Denver Post, I wrote that down on my piece of paper. I said, Wade Phillips has an opening. Thanks, Trent. We sure appreciate that bit of laughter in our otherwise.
See, everybody's so worried about Wade and where Wade's going to go. I'm more concerned about Wesley. Because Wesley was on the staff. That's Bum's son. That's Bum's grandson, Wade's son. What happens to Wesley now? Does he have a chance to move on further his career?
Coming up later in the week on the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow, our Husker Lunch. We'll be at Cunningham. Stop by and chat with us. Bob Davis, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, will join us. Talk to him about that big comeback win this weekend and what Turner has done and how far they are away. Our Loper Link, a lot going on with basketball, volleyball, wrestling, and football. We'll talk about that. Sean Callahan will join us. He is the speaker at the lunch tomorrow. Thursday on the show, Connie Yorey, Nebraska women's basketball coach. A lot more talk with state volleyball and football continuing. But when we come back, Bob Jensen and joined us from Huskerland Prep.
If your partials or bridges are painful, worse yet, you're ashamed to smile, then we need to talk. I'm Dr. Michael Bryson with MetalArc Dental Associates. Implant dentistry can change years of painful eating experiences as well as embarrassment. Proven procedures performed with the newest sedation dentistry allow the entire experience to be comfortable and relaxing. Sedation dentistry is good news. We can accomplish more in a single visit, reducing the number of appointments needed to restore your smile. Visit us at MetalArc Dental Associates and confidently bite into your favorite foods.
To find out more about Dr. Michael Bryson's implant and sedation dentistry, log on to MeadowlarkDental.com, MeadowlarkDental.com, or call for an appointment at 308-234-3668, 308-234-3668. Do it today for a pain-free, brighter smile tomorrow.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The state high school football playoffs continue Tuesday on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. At 4:30 on 1230 AM KHAS, Hastings St. Cecilia will take on Crofton. On ESPN Radio, South Loop will take on Overton at 6 o'clock. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Loomis will play Mullen at 6, and Giltner will take on Pawnee City on the Breeze 94.5 Tuesday at 4. It's the state high school playoffs Tuesday.
Taking a look at your weather eye forecast. Look for plenty of sunshine as we head through your day today. High temperatures will top out near 70 degrees with breezy south winds. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Colin Witherow.
Right now, 59.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Whether it's the NFL, college football, basketball is underway. Tennessee got beat by Division II school last night. That shouldn't be a big deal. All you have to do to watch anything you want, and because there's more basketball out there that might be a little obscure, they're going to get the game on. If it's on TV, it's on for you at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. And don't forget tonight in Kearney, it's their Chicken Wing Night. For only 40 cents, you get those Big Daddy wings, the bone and all that meat around it with their 13 different wing flavors to choose from, 5 to 10 every Tuesday night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. And don't forget, in both Kearney and Grand Island on Wednesday, it's Big Burger Night, $5 for any burger off the menu with fries. Watch your favorite games. There's lunch specials every day, great food and drink specials every night, and they're open 7 days a week for you at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
And as we head into the quarterfinal round of the state playoffs in C&D today and semifinals and championship for the other classes the rest of the week, that means the field is getting skinnier, and Bob Jensen joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And don't forget Coach Pelini coming up in just a few minutes as well. But, Bob, a lot of great football games. This is where the argument in the past, if you shouldn't have 32 teams, well, everybody that's left belongs. And let's start with the only battle of unbeatens today and your selection of South Loop to upset Overton.
Well, you know, that's kind of ironic. First of all, dude, thank you for having me on. It's ironic, isn't it, that we would start at the very top with my beloved South Loop Bobcats. First of all, if you're still playing, you're good. Okay, I mean, forget all the analysis. If you are still playing, you are good. And both of these teams are good. And I'll be real honest, all teasing aside, I think South Loop might be even a little bit better than I was giving them credit for. I probably hedging my bets there just a little bit, but they really put it to Kennesaw last week. And Kennesaw's not going to win state or anything. It's not like that kind of team. But it's a good football team. And, frankly, they got embarrassed up at dear old Arnold last week. And so South Loop comes into it with a good head of steam. Overton is a little nicked up. I mean, anytime you're minus one of your best players, which Overton is, with Zach Olmstead out, it makes a difference. Having said that, you wouldn't know it based on the way Overton's been waxing people. Last week, a little disturbance in the force, though, with Axtell. Of course, that's a tough game, that second time around, the rivalry factor and all that. It ought to be a great game. And let's face it, how do I pick against my school? You just can't do it. Do I think South Loop should be the favorite? Not necessarily. But I'm telling you what, I do think it's going to be a really good ball game, dude. And I do think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And I think they're going to put on quite a show tonight in Overton.
Bob, you're absolutely correct. These teams do belong. But two teams that maybe the surprise in the field, you go to see one. Central Catholic and St. Paul stand at 6-4 apiece. How have they gotten there?
Well, I tell you what, first of all, Tony, good morning to you. You know, the thing with Central Catholic, it kind of was brewing there all year. I maybe was just a little disappointed with how that regular season went. I know there were some weird things that went on with Central Catholic. We talked a little bit about Coach Shoemaker's boy and his medical situation, which came to light right at the – as the season started to get underway, and that kind of threw things for a loop. Riley's well now, and he's in the lineup. He's their leading rusher, and they just kind of hit their stride a little bit. That was a nice win that they had last week, and there is a school of thought that says, oh, just wait till one of these teams from back here gets a hold of Ogallala. Well, I guess we'll find out. But Ogallala is undefeated. Ogallala did win that Far West Class B district last year. And, they've got a couple good wins of their own. I suspect that Ogallala will win that ball game, but it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if Central Catholic can put some points on Ogallala, which has been hard to do. And as far as St. Paul goes, the same thing. Like so many of these teams, they had some injury problems early with the Costello kid and all that. But that's just it. St. Paul is used to doing well at the end of the season. And I know we've mentioned this before, but they've won playoff games the last 4 years in a row. That was a real nice win that they got. We talked about Axtell and Overton that second time around. You guys been around the game. You know what I'm talking about. St. Paul got a second shot at Boone and took advantage of it. Their reward, I guess, is the fact they get to play Pierce. And that's where things can get a little bit goofy. Just like any time you're an underdog, maybe a substantial underdog, maybe a substantial underdog that maybe ended the other team's season last year and they think about it for 12 months, another coming to your town, hold on tight that first quarter. If there's a way that St. Paul can survive what's no doubt going to be a furious first quarter, I know that's for a fact because I interviewed one of the Pierce kids this week, that Brock Schroeder that's played running back and quarterback for him, and he said that it comes up every week. So my suspicion is Pierce will show up ready to play, and if St. Paul can survive that early stuff, maybe they can make a game of it.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. C&D quarterfinals are today, and a couple of 1-2 matchups consensus in the state ratings, and they just happen to match up here in the state quarterfinals. You've got St. Cecilia and Crofton in Hastings this afternoon, and tonight St. Francis and Howells. Talk about those two.
Well, you're right. They do kind of feel like state championship games. It's a shame that they're playing now. It does remind you a little bit of those St. Cecilia Pierce games that got played too terribly early a couple years ago. I guess boys will test my theory, okay? My theory's been all along you cannot beat St. Cecilia playing the same kind of football that St. Cecilia plays. Well, Crofton's going to come in. They're going to try and do that. They're going to try and run the ball at St. Cecilia. They're going to try and contain the St. Cecilia running game. That's what they're going to try and do. And I don't know how that could possibly work, to make a long story short. But the one thing that they do have, they have an established quarterback, a 3-year starter, a kid with the great name of Christian Knorr. I love that name. Kid's a big kid. He's 6'3", 185, got a good arm. I've seen him in the pocket. He's a good passer. They just don't do it very often. And I've been saying all along, the only way you're going to beat St. Cecilia is to beat him through the air. And Crofton's going to have to try that some. I know talking with Coach Tony Hoffman from up at Crofton, he's aware of that. He's real honest about it. He wants to be able to establish the run, but he also feels real confident in his quarterback and his receivers. And so that's kind of the scenario there. St. Cecilia is the favorite in every game that they play. It won't be any different today. And the thing with Howells and St. Francis, that is a goofy deal. Howells has just owned St. Francis in the playoffs. They beat them the last five times. They've never one time they've allowed more than two touchdowns to be scored in any of those games. Three of them were shutouts. The thing is that I saw the game earlier this year, and both teams were at full strength. There was no hidden factors or anything like that. And when I walked away from that field, I felt like St. Francis was the better football team. Everything came so hard for Howells that night. And I'll be honest, they looked a step slower than St. Francis. I was really impressed with St. Francis's line. They're those real nice-looking 195, 210-pound kids that can move a little bit. They've got a whole bunch of guys that can run the ball, and St. Francis is not going to go to Howells tonight and be all freaked out about playing house in a state playoff game. They're going to go in there and expect to take care of business, and that, as much as anything, is going to work in their favor. I don't know. I'm probably crazy, but I think St. Francis is going to win this game.
Well, Bob, the game we're doing tonight is Mullen at Loomis. Tell me the Wolves got a chance.
They have a chance. Bertrand had a chance against Sumner. They've got a chance. No, that's a cheap shot. I don't mean to do that. Here's the deal. Loomis does have a chance, but, again, I talked to Coach Reese earlier in the week, and, he knows what's coming. Everybody who plays Mullen knows what's coming. Mullen's going to line it up real tight. Their quote-unquote split end could probably reach out and brush the teeth of the quarterback, okay? They're not going to be real far apart. They're going to turn, and they're going to hand it to this kid named Zach Call, and he's going to run right up the gut. That's going to be their offense. And that's worked for them every game except one, and that's when they got beat by Sargent because they couldn't catch Sargent, and Sargent scored a whole bunch of points. Loomis showed some real guts last week. Hooray for Brandon Horst, Mr. Football Hero, kicks the winning extra point. But this is a little different animal. I think Loomis is going to have to probably play its best game of the year. It's capable of doing it because it's a talented team. It's got a lot of kids that have played a lot of football. It isn't that they don't know what to do. I just think that that's going to be an awfully difficult task. And here we go again with, a team traveling some distance. Well, teams that travel from the west to the east, it's just no big deal. You get on the bus all the time. So I think Loomis is going to probably have to play its best. I think it goes into the game as an underdog. We'll see what happens.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. The C&D quarters are today. We're waiting for Bo Pelini to have his weekly press conference, so let's take a chance here, Bob. Just a minute. Six-man championship game is Thursday night, and then the A and B semifinals are Saturday. We're interested in Aurora Crete and whatever you can tell us about the six-man rematch between Greeley Wallback and Arthur County.
Real quick, thing is, great. These are the two titans, so to speak, of six-man football. Arthur won that game last year. I like him to win it again. I listened to your buddy Walt Smith call the game the other day. They had to get him a couple bottles of water because he's calling 145 points in one game. But he did fine. He held up. The thing about Crete and Aurora, everybody wants to know about Tyson Brockmeyer. I was on the sideline last week when he came out of the game. It didn't look good. I felt badly. Ty's a kid that I've known since he was probably 5 years old. If he plays and plays anywhere, he's got to play like Tyson Brockmeyer. But if he plays and plays like Tyson Brockmeyer, I like Aurora. Anything less than that, and that would include him playing at 80%, and I think Aurora's in trouble. And I guess we'll find out. But Crete's been laying for these guys all year. It's the game we've all waited for. I just hope we have all the leading men in the game.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep. Bob, thanks so much, as always, for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy the travels today. Enjoy the football.
Yeah, it's always good to be on with you guys. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We'll also catch up with him on our scoreboard show tonight, which will be a little early. About everybody's at 6. There are some 7 o'clock kickoffs in the east tonight. But we have got Giltner, the first game today, taking on Pawnee City, 4 o'clock on the Breeze 94.5 FM, 4:30 kick between Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Crofton. And that is going on 12:30 AM KHAS. Here on ESPN Radio, the Battle of Unbeaten South Loop at Overton at 6, and on Classic Hits 98.9, also at 6, it'll be Loomis taking on Mullen. Apparently, a well-attended ball game for all involved.
Well, you certainly think there's going to be some great crowds, great atmosphere for high school football, and great temperatures expected for this afternoon and this evening's games.
Of course, Tony appearing this Sunday. We told you about it at the top of the broadcast. This Sunday at the Garage, Reverend Horton Heat, Split Lip Rayfield, and the legendary Shack Shakers. An opportunity to see three of the top name groups traveling this year. And all week, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Here's what I want to know. Who was the head football coach at Colorado before Dan Hawkins? 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Who was the head football coach at Colorado before Dan Hawkins? First correct caller gets a pair of tickets. We go to Lincoln for Coach Bo Pelini.
With Kansas body language and kind of a team that people felt was beat up a little mentally, how they played that, finished that game?
I just thought they just kept playing, I think it's a shows a lot about their character and and things that their coaching staff is trying to implement into them. You know, it's real easy to pack it in a situation like that, and they never did that. And so you got to give a team credit for, you know, continuing to fight and keep believing.
Do you see any reflections in what you know about Turner Gill's character in the way that Kansas played the second half?
Well, like I said, I think it just shows that he's instilling a certain kind of mindset with the football team. I don't know how much character has to play. I mean, the character of the football team and things I think he's trying to instill into his team.
You were new here in 03 when had been here for...
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
You were new here. Did he kind of help you a little bit in 03, just kind of understanding the program a little bit or history a little bit? Did you lean on him a little bit?
No, I mean, I lean more on Frank, but obviously, I mean, Turner was on the other side of the ball, but... I mean, you know, everybody you come in contact with, everybody you're on the staff with has, you know, you develop a relationship with them, you get to know them, I think you learn from everybody you're around.
Your quarterback situation's up in the air. I mean, I think they played three different guys. How do you go about preparing for that this week?
Well, we don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know, I mean, who's going to play quarterback and... it's kind of irrelevant. We're just kind of preparing against their offense, and because I mean, who knows what they're, you know, they don't change much from guy to guy, and I think they're all capable, and you got to be prepared for whoever lines up back there. Guys are easy today.
How about Rex, Bo? He comes in and plays quarterback and did so well. Will we see him again or you know, at QB? And how do you think he did Saturday?
Well, I thought he did really well. I mean, I think he's a pretty natural at the, you know, handling the Wildcat stuff. And I think he did really well. And I think he has some background as a quarterback. And Rex is just a good football player and has a great, you know, he's... You know, to be able to line up and do all that, you have to have an understanding of what you're trying to accomplish and be able to take charge. And, I mean, those are all things that are strengths of Rex. I mean, he's just a good football player. He's very confident. He's a take-charge guy. So I think he fits that role really well.
There were some comments about Rex after that game that he's become kind of a team leader. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah, I think Rex has became a team leader pretty quick around here. I mean, he got voted onto the Unity Council here. It's only his second year. And he's not a guy. Rex isn't a rah-rah guy. But he's just a guy who just brings it every day. And he's one of the guys who leads by example. And when you have the kind of work ethic he does and you do things right on the field, off the field, and really embody all the things that you want your program to represent. I think he represents all those things. The guys recognize that, and it draws it draws respect for really quickly for a guy like him. And I think that's what's happened. He is an exceptional young man. I mean, in every regard. And you know, like I said, I think the other players, they recognize it.
So, Paul, when you referenced that you learned a lot from turning back in 03, is there anything specifically stood out about me that you
should know? You know, no. I learned from everybody I'm around. And I don't know if I said I learned a lot from him in particular. I didn't have a lot of... not like I sat down and talked a lot. I had a lot on my plate that year. So it wasn't like I was sitting around... We were sitting around talking a lot of football and doing some things. You know, obviously you have the normal interaction you have with another coach. That's, I'd leave it at that.
I wasn't around in 03, but when you were the head coach for that bowl game, he was listed as the assistant head coach. Was there any?
He was the assistant head coach that whole year.
So did he have more responsibility? Did he have any more interactions than he would with any other normal assistant?
I don't remember.
Hey, Coach, with Taylor missing the last game and a half, are there any positives he's been able to kind of just watch him from the sidelines, he's been able to pick more things up, and
You know, I think that Taylor's at that stage in his career. I think, obviously, you can learn all the time by watching and mental reps and all those things. But, you know, it's never good to, you know, you want him to be out there doing it and getting his reps out on the field. That's the best case scenario. But he's smart enough to know that, I'm sure it makes him more hungry. I mean, he's a competitive guy. He wanted to play the other day. And, hopefully it'll make him that much more hungry when he gets back in there. And he's taken some hits and probably took some hits off of him last week and such. I think he's just anxious to get back out there and play.
What did you learn about Cody
Green? I think he played well. I think there's a lot of things he can improve upon, but I thought he managed the game well. He made good decisions in the passing game. He thought he played well. And he did many of the things that we thought he was capable of doing.
How do you battle just the physical grind coming into November, dealing with players maybe getting a little bit more beat up because later in the season? How do you guys deal with that? Not only from a physical perspective, but just mentally preparing players to deal with little hurts and injuries that they can play through, but yet make life a little tougher?
Yeah, you know, it's part of the deal. It gets a lot harder to deal with everybody's tired this time of year. Coaches, players, it's a grind. Like you say, it is a grind. And you get to this point of the year, you got to draw upon. We got a lot to play for right now. It's a lot harder if you're sitting here rather than being, what are we, 8-1? If we were 1-8, it'd be a heck of a lot harder. But my message to the football team is we'll take our rest in 4 weeks. And until then, it's time to, you got to put the foot on the gas pedal and go. You know, no one's going to give you anything. You got to go earn it. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. And that's the message.
Is it easier to coach against somebody like Gil, the guy that you know, or somebody that you really don't have much relationship with?
Is it easier? Not really. I mean, I don't. It's not like I mean, I have. I'm not. I don't have a strong relationship with Turner. I respect him. I know him, and I was with him for 1 year. We haven't really kept in touch much, and I respect him as a football coach, and he's not playing the game. I'm not playing the game. It's about our football teams, and that's about it.
Is what Chuck's doing down there similar to when you were at Oklahoma in 04, Mo, or has he changed much?
Say that again.
Is what Chuck Long's doing down there now similar to what he was doing at?
There's some similarities, and there are some many differences. Obviously, it's different personnel. It's his first year there, so I see them getting better. There obviously are some differences. I'm sure Turner has, he's an offensive guy. I'm sure he has a lot of input on the offense too. And it's like anytime you're in a first year together, it takes time to really develop continuity, not only with your team, but with your staff and getting everything the way, I'm sure they're in the process of doing that right now, but you see them heading in the right direction. I can tell you that much. They're getting better as the year goes on.
But what makes Eric Kay such a valuable piece of your defense the way it sets up schematically this year?
Eric Kay is an invaluable part of our defense. I mean, he does so many things for us. He's obviously, everyone knows what he brings athletically and such, but I mean, we ask him to do a lot of different things, from playing nickel to, which is a linebacker. Week to week, he has a lot to learn, and we ask him to do a variety of different things, which you got to be multi-talented to get that done. And I think he's having an exceptional year. He's really doing well and playing well I think his future is bright. I mean, he'll play at the next level. There's no question in my mind.
How much of that decision to make the nickel more your base defense this year was based on the personnel and knowing that you had him fill that role?
Well, yeah, it's a huge part of it. I mean, we worked him some at the safety in the last spring, because we felt he had to be on the field. But then we also had some other safeties. We had Gomes. You got to find ways to get your best. you know, your guys that have earned it and your best football players on the field, and obviously he was one of those guys. And it also allows you, gives you a chance, because he can do a lot of different things well. It sure does create a lot more, you know, it's easier for us to match up with people. You know, it's like in this day and age, people want to take, try and create mismatches. When you got Eric Hague on the field, it's a lot harder for them to do it, because we, you know, he's like a, he can play, he obviously can do the things we ask linebackers to do, but he can also line up out there and cover any wide receiver you put him on. And that gives you a lot of multiplicity and a lot of flexibility as a defense.
Well, in September, you mentioned that you were kind of in the process in recruiting and trying to figure out, you know, personnel-wise, defensively, you know, how you move into the Big Ten or how what you're doing now translates. Are you any further along in sort of, you know, how the last 2 months, you know, showed you anything about where you have to go or if you can stay, you know, the way you are right now?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because, you know, part of that is, some of it is I'm not quite sure with some of those teams in the Big Ten, like what the challenges are going to be. I think in a couple areas, you know, I think this year, you know, we're probably playing a little smaller than we probably will in the future. That's more of a personnel and now, a here and now type thing, you know, really with regards to our personnel. And I think that'll change a little bit. I think you're going to see that our strengths next year as a defense will probably be a little bit different. And you know, you just got to. I believe this as a coach. You know, you recruit good football players, and then you find a way to get those best football players on the field. Some of that is obviously you have to take into account who you're playing. Some of it also is you have to be able to find your guys, what they do well, and make sure you find a way to get your best players out on the field. So there's a little bit of all that going on, but yeah, will it influence recruiting a little bit? Yes. Our numbers will change a little bit.
You guys have been hurt more this year by the run game than you did last year. Has that affected, you know, your thinking a little bit in recruiting about going forward?
No, not at all. I mean, because you know, it's not like the things that have happened in for us in the run game are more. Some of it is philosophical. Some of it is, you know, I'll put it this way: you understand what the strengths and weaknesses are of every defense, what you're trying to accomplish in the game plan, and what you want to take away. Sometimes you're willing to give up a little bit more of a run, to offset other things. I don't think. I don't think it's really a personnel issue. Some of it is just we've had some experience, especially at the linebacker position and such, where we misfit some things. So that's really not a concern. Do I think, you know, because I'm not, well, I'll put it this way, I don't think we've been out physical. You know, we hold up front well and all those things. Most of the things that have happened has been either tackling or really some misassignments, misfits, that type of thing. And I thought we've gotten better in the regards because we've gotten more experienced.
Sue got all the attention from last year, but you know, you lose Dillard, O'Hanlon, and Asante, you know, who were really good tacklers. I mean,
yeah.
Do you look back at last year and, you know, not to put down this year's guys at all, but do you look back and miss those guys' tackling ability a little bit?
Oh yeah, we knew going in you're gonna miss that some. And those were three pretty key guys, especially, you know, you look back, I mean, Matt O'Hanlon was a really good tackler, Dillard did a good job, and it's not really the physical ability of people to do it, but it's being experienced. You look like at the first year with those guys, that was a house of horrors a little bit, you know, when they were just learning what to do, and some of it is, you know, some of our young guys, inexperienced guys, they're growing into their positions. I think they're getting better, but it doesn't happen overnight, And I see development going on there, and you know, some things that are on the surface that people don't realize that, you know, you watch a film that, you know, that wasn't like teams like we've given some things, we've done some things where we just haven't executed well, and when we're executing well, we're pretty good. But we're still a work in progress in some areas.
Anything else?
Oh, that was easy, jeez. I don't know if I've ever gone without having Eric ask me a question.
I'm sorry to let you know. Thanks, guys.
Well, there you go. And he's right. Eric Olson didn't ask a question today from the Associated Press, so maybe he got what he wanted yesterday. Not a question anymore about the health of Taylor Martinez.
Apparently good to go, huh?
Yeah, apparently so. Again,
apparently very
not
little
a question
talk about Kansas personnel, was there?
Well, no. No, not a lot of talk about how good Kansas is. Most of it was on Turner Gill. And still no question about, yeah, Cody Green did a good job, but you can't say that Nebraska didn't back down the number of offensive plays in the guarded offense that they had, and nobody wants to go there. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, congratulations to Sean and Carney. He's picked up a pair of tickets to go see all three bands at the Garage on Sunday night. More chances for you to be a winner. He knew that Gary Barnett was the head football coach at Colorado right before Dan Hawkins. So, Sean, congratulations. When we come back, we'll have more on what Bo had to say, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and some of the other day's sports right after this.
The Bose Wave Music System. It's elegantly small, with sound that brings new life to music, and it makes a great gift. Forbes FYI says it sounds like a system that costs five times more. Visit Bose.com/enjoy or call 1-800-611-1640 for a 30-day risk-free trial. Call by December 31st and save $100 when you order the Wave Music System together with our optional multi-CD changer. Also ask about financing. 1-800-611-1640.
There's a place south of Laredo, across an ocean of scorpion-covered earth so hot, rattlesnakes combust. We're drawn to it like moths to a flaming jalapeno.
Welcome to Subway.
Subway's turned up the heat. Introducing Subway Fiery Footlong Subs, the hot new turkey jalapeno melt with bubbly Monterey cheddar and the boldacious buffalo chicken. Fiery Footlong Subs, our boldest yet.
Subway Fiery Footlong Subs, they'll burn the wimp right out of you.
Subway, eat fresh.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens, Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Taking a look at your weather eye forecast. Look for plenty of sunshine as we head through your day today. High temperatures will top out near 70 degrees with breezy south winds. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Colin Witherow.
Right now, 59. Balling like a beach.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, all our guests are taken care of by the folks at Burger King, two locations in Kearney next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, and Kearney Cinema, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, also located in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Xbox 360 Kinect has arrived at BK, and they're giving away a complete game system every 15 minutes all month long. Can't win if you don't play. Don't forget free coffee Fridays as well at BK in Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Rex Burkhead getting some props there from head coach Bo Pelini today as we just heard his weekly press conference. And, a couple things. I think he's satisfied with where Taylor Martinez is, and he's not worried about what quarterback Kansas plays.
The Kansas deal, usually, you get some quotes about personnel, and that's the first time, in Iowa State last week, there weren't all that many questions about it. But that's the part that surprises me a little bit more that isn't asked about those guys.
Let's go to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN.
Lavelle from Kearney on Bruce Furniture Fan Line.
Lavelle, what's up?
Hey, ready to answer Tuesday trivia?
No, not yet.
We don't have Tuesday trivia going on just yet, so hang on.
Just calm down.
That's right. You got to settle down. Settle down. Okay, so there you go. Eric Haig, he's getting a lot of play. So is Prince of Makamura this week. You're reading a lot. You're hearing about because of the awards are up for and the way Haig obviously made the big play Saturday.
Well, obviously, Haig is a player that the whole peso evolved from, and making him keeping him on the field in different positions and doing that. I find it pretty interesting. Eric Haig, of course, stands out as the punt that was returned from Texas and then the big play against Iowa State. Yeah, those are two huge plays. Now, I don't know that anybody else, if you watch the defense really close, maybe you single out Eric Haig a lot. But I don't Eric Haig, other than those two plays, Doug, has he got a lot of play? I mean, from the press even? I mean, he might have made some awards list, but I mean, the questions they don't ask or single him out very much.
Well, they don't have to anymore. He was the play in the offseason in spring ball, change of the defense. I don't know what else they can ask. He's doing what they were going to do with him, and that's what they expected. So there you go. Huskers did have everybody back at practice that was out yesterday. Zach Lee, Taylor Martinez, Alfonso Dennard were all on hand for practice yesterday. And as we said, Amakamura up for another award. One of the 16 semifinalists for the Bednarik Award, which Ndamukong Suh won last year, is the Outstanding Defensive Player of the Year. I am surprised that Taylor Martinez is one of 16 semifinalists for the Maxwell Trophy. That's the best player in college football. Is Taylor Martinez really one of the 16 best players in college football? I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. He's a freshman. I am shocked. I am somewhat shocked by that.
Obviously, garnered some. I think those big games, especially with what they were doing at Michigan with Denard Robinson and him, really jump started their careers getting on the scene like they did. The big play capability, which he's shown, I think that stands out immediately. If you're following it on a casual basis, that opens a lot of people's eyes.
Also, UNK's football team remains fourth in the regional rankings. Came out since yesterday's show.
Eighth in the country, fourth in the region.
Yeah, Minnesota Duluth, Augustana, and Grand Valley State. Minnesota Duluth is first. Augustana is 14th after they lost to Wayne State without their quarterback last week. And Grand Valley is sixth. Grand Valley's beaten some teams that aren't that good either. But Grand Valley plays at Saginaw Valley State, which is who the Lopers played in the playoffs last year. Minnesota Duluth, they play Minnesota State Mankato. And then Grand Valley, and then Augustana, again, we'll see what happens without their quarterback. They may fall to number three. They play Upper Iowa, who's 2-8. So, right now, as it stands, the Lopers would host St. Cloud State in the first round of the playoffs. And St. Cloud State of Minnesota is 8-2, ranked 18th in the country.
Well, you're all going to be awfully, awfully talented football teams when you get this far. Let's just hope the Lopers can take care of business and finish this deal Saturday.
Hastings College men's basketball team beat Bethany 77-71 last night. The women play at Kansas Wesleyan tonight. The Hastings men's soccer team has that home game tonight. That's why there's no football there, because of the GPAC semifinals. They take on Briarcliff at 6. Hastings College volleyball takes on Briarcliff tonight at 7:30 at home. Lynn Farrell Arena in the quarterfinals of the GPAC Conference Tournament. So that's what's coming up with Hastings College. Also, Michigan State played UNO in men's basketball last night, which was a little more exciting than Nebraska-Bellevue.
Not much, though,
no,
right?
No, 102-72, Michigan State over UNO. Also, volleyball, Nebraska is fifth in the Division I poll again this week, and then UNK is 10th. In the Division II poll this week of volleyball. And for the Lopers, Kelsey Werner, the RMAC Player of the Week, and Cole Svek, the Setter of the Week. And so that's what's going on for volleyball, which is going on. But that's not the big volleyball story. It's not the big volleyball
this
story.
This deal's becoming out of hand. I didn't mean to create a monster.
This is how it all started. Nebraska did not serve the ball well last night against Texas.
I don't understand. Even at the high school level, I cringe when somebody hits it into the net. I can hit 50 of them in a row.
I think I will take the bet. Daddy could not serve 50 straight volleyballs inbounds regulation court.
It's a 40 by 40 square.
I'm waiting for the invitation for Daddy.
Yeah, I'll come to your school and hit 50 of them in a row in.
I have heard from Kearney Catholic coach Chris Connor. She says Daddy is invited for the serving demonstration. One rule, no spandex. Visions of Daddy in volleyball tights may forever haunt me now.
I haven't had a volleyball in my hands in 10 years. I can do it today.
I'm lining it up. Chris, we're coming to Kearney Catholic next week, and we're doing this.
Let's get an opinion from an NSAA referee, Ben.
I've got faith in you, Daddy. I've seen a girl 7th grader do 75.
Again, the bet. Daddy can serve 50 volleyballs in a row.
It's happening tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Cope Gymnasium, Cope Coliseum at Kearney Catholic High School. Kearney Catholic's pep rally getting ready for their state. They need inspiration, motivation to practice more. I don't know. But Daddy will be there attempting 50 consecutive serves, however he needs to get them in, legal serves, and we'll see how far he is going to go. Are you nervous yet?
Not yet.
I believe the over-unders, I mean, it's at 50, but I haven't, I mean, there's been like two people that have given you a chance to do 50. I give you zero chance. Zero chance.
My friend Ben and Coach Lee, so only two.
That's right. Only two people that we've heard of, because we've had a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of people talking on the street. Sounds like a lot of folks are going to be there, not only for the pep rally, but to watch either you fail or your moment of triumph.
Obviously, I will require. I want a spit bucket there because I'm gonna have. But after 10, I'm gonna have to go sit down and cool down.
Are you? What are you wearing? Have you given this thought?
No.
You better give that some thought. Okay. Make sure you give that some thought, because I'm not planning that part of it. Tomorrow night, you're all invited for the Kearney Catholic pep rally. Daddy will be a part of it.
Well, flip flops will be worn.
Well, I don't even know what to set the over under at right now. I'm trying to think how high I can set it and still get action on both sides here. 15.5? Is that, 15.5. I think if you mess up, you're messing up early. And we can move on
you
with
think
the
I get, if I get on a roll, I get a shot.
You have no shot at getting 50. You could, you would be the kind of person that could get on a roll, get to about 30, and then start thinking about it. We'll take a break and wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Voice messages.
Mike, it's Taylor, your favorite all-pro running back. Man, you missed my 46-yard TD run last night. Dinner with your wife is more important than the team? Whatever.
Yo, Mike, it's Buckner, the center for your hoops team. What's with you hitting the hardware store while I'm in a playoff game? Thanks a lot.
In sports, any second can be the second. Download game highlights, scores, and stats with the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Certain geographic author monthly charges and restrictions apply. Mobile broadband not available in all areas. See store for details.
Everybody and their brother, sisters, and second cousins are saying they can save you money on car insurance. Well, who listens to brothers, sisters, and second cousins? GEICO's been saving people money on car insurance for over 70 years. That's longer than most companies have been around. That's probably longer than you've been around. Believe me, when it comes to saving you money, this isn't GEICO's first time to the rodeo.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
It's the last-minute carpet sale at Builders. Act now for installation before Thanksgiving. Carpet prices are as low as $2 per square foot, and that includes carpet, cushion, and installation. Plus, receive 12 months no interest, and as always, you'll be covered by the Builders Lifetime Installation Warranty. Visit one of our stores at Webb and Old 30 in Grand Island, or Top of the Hill in Kearney for more details. That's Builders, where we do flooring best.
You can too. Builders does it best.
Doug and Daddy's show. Drake Veronik did not score last night.
maybe didn't play as much either. 15 minutes last night. The Huskers really balanced it. Nobody played more than 27 minutes. Nobody less than 13 for the Huskers in their men's basketball game. They open up Friday with South Dakota. Friday night at home. Then the women have Vermont Saturday at 11:35. So if you're going to go catch some football, you can go see the National Coach of the Year and the new Nebraska women's basketball team off that 32-2 mark. We'll talk to Coach Connie Yori on Thursday's Doug and Daddy Show. And if enough wasn't going on, state volleyball and football playoffs, national letter of intent signing. Well, you've wanted to know where these Grand Island Central Catholic girls are going to go. Here you go. Liz McGowan to the Lopers. She's going to UNK. Steph Brand, Wayne State.
Oh, Steph, come to your senses.
Jessica Wojcik, Regis University.
Okay.
And Bailey Baxter, UNO.
Oh, Bailey, let's talk, please. Bailey, call the station. I'll give you my number. I'll come over. We'll visit. Seriously. I'll become a Maverick.
888-455-ESPN. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Call now at 888-455-3776. And if you've not won the last 2 months, you've got a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's. And let's go to the phone lines. Daddy's got the question today. Who are we chatting with?
Eli.
Eli. All right, Daddy, what do you got?
Hey, Eli, the last time Kansas was in a bowl game was 08. Who did they play?
Virginia Tech.
Ooh, that was the year before in the Orange Bowl. That's incorrect. Thanks for trying, Eli. Call again.
888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Bill.
Bill, Turner Gill coming back to Nebraska. Of course, the last game that he quarterbacked was the national championship loss to Miami. Who was the team, who was the only other team to beat Turner Gill in those previous 2 years?
Oklahoma.
No. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Only one other team beat Turner Gill in his junior and senior year. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dan.
Dan. Me or you, Tone?
Dan, you pick it. Doug or Tony?
I'll go with Daddy.
All right. The career rushing leader at Kansas is who?
No clue.
I'll try again. 888-455-3776.
Wow. That's wow. 888-455-ESPN.
It's a name you would recognize.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Travis.
Travis. All right, here we go. Name any team outside of Miami of Florida that beat Turner Gill as a starting quarterback. And there were only two, by the way. Well,
Michigan.
Let me take that back. There were actually three, and Michigan's not one of them. Thanks. Try back, Travis. There was actually three of them. So there's three different schools that beat Turner Gill, not named Miami of Florida, when he was a starter, 81 through 83, if that helps you look it up real quick, people. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Todd.
Daddy, ask your question.
Todd, I'm going to go Dan Hawkins was fired today. They've got three wins. Who are those three wins against?
Georgia.
Correct.
Oh, shoot. That should be easy. I can't remember.
Thanks. Try again. 888-455-3776.
Doug and Daddy's show rolling on. Who are we chatting with?
Bill from Kearney.
All right, Bill, let's see. I asked him this question, Tony, so you got to ask him one of your questions.
Bill, the career passing leader at Kansas is who?
Oh, that kid that played for him last year. I can't remember his name. Reesing.
That is correct, Bill.
That's right.
That is right. Todd Reesing.
All right.
Blowing up the charts over 11,000 yards.
Bill, hang on the line. We got a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats coming your way. Hang on, and let's give the rest of the answers. Tony, the all-time leading rusher is not Gale Sayers?
No, it is not. It's June Henley.
Okay.
June Henley. The Insight Bowl was the last bowl they were in. They played the Minnesota Golden Gophers. 42-21 winners over the Golden Gophers.
The three teams Colorado beat this year, Colorado State,
Hawaii.
Georgia, and Hawaii. And the teams that Turner Gill could not beat besides Miami, Penn State twice, Iowa, and Clemson in the 81 Orange Bowl. There you go.
Those were the losses for Nebraska between 81 and 83. So let's get on out of here. We thank you for joining us. Enjoy the high school football. If you want to catch it on the web, go to ESPNSuperstation.com. While you're listening to the game, you can vote on our poll question. You know, the old poll question is, who would you rather play in the Big 12 championship, Oklahoma or Texas? 55% said Oklahoma, 45% said Texas. Don't have to worry about it now. Texas is about the only team that doesn't have a chance. Question now up is, will the Nebraska men's basketball team finish above 500 this season? Your opinion, will the Husker men's basketball finish above 500? Plus, you can hear all the games. The podcasts are up there from any of our previous shows, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. And we want to thank our guests today. They included, from the Denver Post, Tom Kinsler to talk about the firing of Dan Hawkins, Bob Jansen of Huskerland Prep Report, and, of course, Bo Pelini's press conference tomorrow, live with our Husker Lunch at Cunningham's Journal. Come out and join us. Sean Callahan will be there. We'll hear from Bob Davis, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, our Loper Link, and a whole lot more.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1416 Kearney, 1550 in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.